You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans by Saints fans. And you know what it is, throw me a follow on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. If this is your first time catching the podcast, welcome. You picked a great week to start listening the Locked On Saints, so I appreciate you being here. Make sure that you subscribe and share. It's a big help to me, but it will also help keep you up to date when a new episode drops every Monday through Friday. And don't forget, anytime that you are out on the road, you can take the podcast with you. Just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to tune into the show. Episodes are usually just about the perfect time for your daily drive, either to work or back home through traffic. And there is lots of news all over the league to cover today, so I'm saying let's just jump in today's episode. This is actually my second time recording this episode. I actually scrapped the first one because some big news dropped that you've all already heard about that I wanted to make sure that we talked about. So we'll get to that. And of course, we'll talk about all of the big signings from around the league and what they mean to New Orleans, Tyrann Mathieu to the Chiefs, Landon Collins to Washington, Nick Foles to the Jags, all of that. But first and foremost, we've got to talk about the two big pieces of Saints news to discuss. First, we'll talk about the dark news that Mark Ingram's time is coming to an end in New Orleans. We'll take a look on the brighter side in the second segment of Jane Slater's report that Teddy Bridgewater will be sticking around in the black and gold to remain Drew Brees' heir apparent, and what the coaching staff has to say about Teddy Two Gloves. And then, of course, we'll talk about all the news from around the league and one more of the sort of, it would probably be seen on a national scale as a small signing, but a big signing for New Orleans as well, as they locked up Craig Robinson yesterday. So we'll talk about all that. I got all that for you and a little bit of Lanyap on the way in Tuesday's edition of Locked On Saints, your team every day. So I told y'all to be ready just in case this happened, because from my perspective, there was a pretty good chance that it would. But as of right now, it looks like Mark Ingram's time in New Orleans has come to an end. The Saints and running back Latavius Murray have reportedly agreed to a four-year, $14.4 million contract, which would then signal the end of Mark Ingram's time in New Orleans. Now, of course, nothing is official until pen touches paper. You know, we just watched Anthony Barr earlier this morning sort of flip-flop from saying that he was going to go to the Jets, and now he's sticking around with Minnesota after the Jets also signed CJ Mosley. So, look, there's the opportunity that this can happen, but I highly, highly, highly doubt it. And a lot of that just has to do with money. Look, the Saints had a price that they wanted to stick with. Mark Ingram had a price, and his agent, they had a price that he felt that he deserved. And he's talked about that. He said that when he was on the Rich Eisen show. He told everybody, and we talked about it here on the podcast. He told everyone, I am happy to stay in New Orleans. My family is here. My kids were born, everything. I met my wife, all of that. He was happy to stay in New Orleans, but he mentioned that there was a price and that he had a value that he knew he was going to stick with, and that if he didn't get that value, then it would be different. People didn't pay attention to that part. Everybody just paid attention to, oh, he wants to stay in New Orleans, yada, yada, yada. And I get that 100%. That's all very exciting. We knew there was mutual interest from both clubs. I was excited to hear the fact that there was mutual interest. And then so there was a better chance that Mark Ingram would stay. But look, if the money's not right, the money's not right. It was like I said in my article yesterday, business is business, and that's always going to be the case. And that just happens to be what this is. This is good news, y'all. I'm sorry, but this is good news. Mark Ingram now gets, this is his last possible paycheck, probably last at least big possible paycheck, going on 30 at the end of next year. So now he gets to go off and actually get paid somewhere to play the game that he loves, and he gets to get paid the money and the value that he feels that he deserves. So he's going to be able to go and do that. There's a lot of teams out there. Right now the Ravens are said to be in the front running per, I believe it was Josh Katzenstein that said it, but there's also the Jets, Raiders, Lions, and Packers that are all after him as well. He's out there getting more, it almost looks like he's out there getting more attention than Le'Veon Bell, but of course Le'Veon Bell's been negotiating for a longer time, so he's narrowed his choices down to Ravens and Jets. So you can almost look at, okay, whoever doesn't get Le'Veon Bell might get Mark Ingram, things like that. So there's a lot happening, and there's a lot of opportunity for Mark Ingram out there. He's gonna get that paycheck. Larry Holder talked about how at the combine he was talking about $7.5 million per year. Saints just can't afford that. He's probably gonna go somewhere. John Sigler tweeted out earlier, I hope he goes somewhere and gets a three-year 20 $25 million contract. That would be $8.3 million per year. That would be outstanding for him. Meanwhile, the Saints save some money and the Saints get to continue to build around Drew Brees to sort of get him to a place where he can, you know, get that final ring in what could be his last year right here in 2019. So that's the other side of this coin. It's good for Mark Ingram, but it's also, I mean, it's good for the team. It's not great culture-wise. You know that, you know, Mark Ingram was a big-time cultural leader there. His camaraderie with Alvin Kamara is unmatched across the league, and I hope that they continue to have fun with one another from across the league the way that they love to do. But the fact of the matter is that for the Saints, losing Mark Ingram sucks, don't get me wrong, but signing Latavius Murray at $3.6 million a year is an absolute win for the team. Let's think about it this way. If Mark Ingram was actually asking for $7.5 million a year from the Saints, they just went from potentially paying one running back $7.5 million to paying all four of their running backs under $6 million. They're right around $5.75 million amongst their four running backs. It's Latavius Murray at 3.6, Alvin Kamara at just under $1 million, Dwayne Washington at just under $700,000, and Martez Carter at just under $500,000. So this is a good move for the Saints, and let's not pretend like it isn't. I get it, 100%. Losing Mark Ingram sucks for this team, for the culture, for the city, for the community, for the fans. I 100% understand. But when you look at their production from last year, granted, Mark Ingram played four fewer games, but they still had right around the same amount of touches. So 138 carries for Mark Ingram for 645 yards and six touchdowns, as compared to Latavius Murray, who had 140 carries, 578 yards, and six rushing touchdowns. 21 receptions to 23 receptions, 170 yards to 141 yards receiving. They basically put up the same amount of production in the same amount of time if you consider how many times they touched the ball. Only three total touches in terms of carries and receptions combined separate the two. But let's be real for a second, because I like to be honest about the situation as well. I know I've been saying for weeks that losing Mark Ingram wasn't going to be the end of the world for New Orleans. And when you look at it, you know, I just talked about stats and I just talked about production on the field. But don't forget that Mark Ingram's value goes beyond just his production on the field and his numbers. He's a culture guy. He's a heart and soul kind of guy. So the team is disappointed. The players are upset. The fans are heartbroken, the community's heartbroken, everything. And there's value in that, because you can't teach that, right? You can teach to an extent, you can teach somebody to play the position. You can coach somebody up to be better at the position. You can do all of that. And look, the Saints, they're going to have a ton of fun with Latavius Murray. 6'3", 230 pounds, can catch and run. They're going to have so much fun with him. But let's not pretend like that is going to replace the heart and soul that Mark Ingram brought to this team. That is what this team is going to be missing next year. And that is disappointing. Don't get me wrong. The Saints, they're going to find a way to keep that community. They re-signed Chris Banjo. They re-signed Craig Robertson yesterday to a two-year deal. Those are big-time culture, heart, and soul guys. We'll talk about Teddy Bridgewater coming up next. He's a huge locker room and heart and soul guy and potential future of this team, for that matter. And look, so that's going to be the part that's going to be tough, is that. And Latavius Murray, he's going to find a way to fit into that culture. He's going to be welcomed in. You saw how they welcomed in Dez Bryant. They'll welcome Latavius Murray in. The production that they're going to get out of Latavius Murray for the price that they paid for him is great value for the Saints. Alvin Kamara is going to get that feature role, and he excelled in it last year when he ran for, well, not really ran, but when he compiled a total of 611 total yards and six touchdowns during Mark Ingram's four-game absence. So they're going to be fine. The Saints are going to be fine. And you know what? Mark Ingram's going to be fine too. He's about to go out and get a big payday, probably from Baltimore. He's going to get a huge contract, and he's going to have a good time where he goes. He and Alvin Kamara will find a way to continue to have fun from across the league, and that's going to be exciting to watch. And you know what? The Saints are going to be fine too, and a lot of that has to do with another guy that we're going to talk about right here on the other side of the break, and that's Teddy Bridgewater, who is rumored to be sticking around in New Orleans. So we'll talk about that right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here. All right, so now we are coming back from sort of the dim, dark news of Mark Ingram not returning, or at least all signs are pointing to him not returning. Let me explain real quick why I'm being hesitant to just say straight up he's not coming back, because there is the chance that he has a change of heart or something. Not necessarily a change of heart, but you know, he doesn't like the situation that he's getting elsewhere and stuff, and so he decides, all right, I'll take the pay cut, I'll stick with the Saints. He can still reverse, and he can do that, you know, before 4 p.m. tomorrow when the Saints sign Latavius Murray. Once the Saints sign Latavius Murray, it's kind of out of the question, because they won't really have the money to do it. He'd have to take an incredible pay cut at that point, like an exorbitant amount of money would be lost for him in that scenario, which I just don't don't see him letting happen, nor should he allow that to happen. He should go where the money is, and he should take that last big contract. So that's one of the reasons why I'm sort of sticking with things like reported and you know, potential and stuff like that. So just to explain that. All right, so another potential thing to report that would be just plain outstanding news comes from NFL Network's Jane Slater, who tweeted out earlier this morning, Teddy Bridgewater expected to re-sign with New Orleans Saints despite a bigger deal on the table from Miami. I'm told Bridgewater values the locker room culture and prospect of one day becoming the Saints starting quarterback, per source informed, #Saints. This is outstanding news for the city of New Orleans and the New Orleans Saints that they will be able to maintain Teddy Bridgewater and his motorcycle dancing in the locker room for years to come. Hopefully, nobody has indicated yet if it's a one-year deal or a multi-year deal, but this is great news for New Orleans. I tweeted out yesterday when Nick Foles signed his four-year, $88 million contract with the Jaguars that was the best news that the Saints received yesterday and that Saints fans received yesterday. The reason being, the Jaguars were one of those teams that was trying to leverage Teddy Bridgewater in order to get a better deal with Nick Foles. Had they not been able to get Nick Foles down to the price that they wanted, they could have genuinely gone to Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, or apparently rather, that wouldn't have made a difference. Wouldn't have made a difference at all, because the report here from Jane is that Teddy Bridgewater had a bigger contract offer sitting there from Miami, where he's from, and he turned that down because he valued being with the Saints, playing with Sean Payton, playing in New Orleans, and being the heir apparent to Drew Brees. Now, to some, this was no surprise. Diana Rossini of ESPN tweeted out earlier and said, I asked Saints head coach Sean Payton at the combine who they were going to go after at quarterback, knowing Drew Brees would be done soon. And he said, I have my guy. His name is Teddy Bridgewater. So this is something that has been in the works for a while. You've heard Michael Thomas talk about, you know, we want him to be here. He wants to be here. We want him in this locker room. He's a great culture guy, all of that, and he's a great player. They really like him. They really like working with him. Sean Payton loves working with Teddy Bridgewater. Jane Slater was talking about that on NFL Network earlier today as well. So this is an outstanding piece of news for New Orleans. This came out before the Mark Ingram news. Kind of almost wish it would have went the other way, because then, you know, it would come sort of, we would be ending on a high note with the day. But this is good. This is great for the Saints, who have their quarterback, potential franchise quarterback, moving forward after Drew Brees is done. Now, of course, you know, it remains to be seen what Teddy Bridgewater can actually do with a full amount of playing time. He's only played in two regular season games in the last four seasons. You've heard us talk about that. He had an outstanding preseason with the Jets. I'm excited to see him in the preseason with the Saints coming up here. Oh man, just in a few months. So that's coming up too. But, you know, you can't really look at Teddy Bridgewater's performance in the Carolina Panthers game in week 17 and, you know, hold him accountable for any of that as, oh, he couldn't be a starter, he couldn't even score points, blah, blah, blah. He had an outstanding touchdown pass in that game, first of all. And then secondly, he was playing, you know, without an offensive line. It was like he was playing for the Arizona Cardinals for a second. So he was out there struggling and scrambling all over the place. That's not his game. Teddy Bridgewater is a pocket passer. And, you know, the effort probably wasn't that great during that game anyway from the pieces around him, except for Michael Thomas, who was trying to get that single season receiving yards record done. So now we just wait to see exactly what the terms of that deal are going to be. More than likely, that will be signed sometime tomorrow after 4 p.m. New York time, once we get into the official free agent signing period. Some other news for the Saints. I mentioned earlier that Craig Robertson has been re-signed to a two-year deal. Outstanding move by the Saints, who are working very hard to maintain as much of a Super Bowl winning roster as they can, or at least a team that they feel was a Super Bowl winning roster last year. Don't forget that they only missed the Super Bowl because of a blown call. Other than that, they would have been there. They've got a Super Bowl roster, so now they're just working on maintaining those pieces. So far, Mark Ingram is the first and only piece that they've lost. There are still some other pieces left out there to be signed. Maybe some news on Alex Okafor and Tyler Davison will be coming soon. Jane Slater did say that now that they've retained Teddy Bridgewater and that this Mark Ingram negotiation period has come to an end, that the focus will shift over to the defensive line. So the aforementioned Alex Okafor and Tyler Davison, we should be getting news about them soon. But then also, the Saints have scheduled a visit with edge rusher, former Lions edge rusher Ziggy Ansah, who, if the Saints were trying to bring him in to become a full-time pass rusher, I'd be a little disappointed there. I'm not really sure how I would feel about that, just because of his inconsistency. consistency over the course of the last few years. But if he's coming in as a rotational piece, which is exactly what he would be doing, he'd be rotating with Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport as well. I think that's a great move. So I'm kind of, my fingers are crossed to see how that goes. I love that, you know, the Saints got all of their priorities taken care of. They went in and did their due diligence with Mark Ingram. They got Teddy Bridgewater. They're apparently locking him in. And then now they're going to go out and start spending. I know a lot of Saints fans were really disappointed that the Saints weren't going out and they weren't going after their favorite free agents and this, that, and the other. Oh, Tyrann Mathieu, and oh, the get a big ticket safety and all this other stuff. I get it. Like, fine, you can be disappointed by that. But you have to understand that this is a team that went out and signed Brandon Browner and Jairus Byrd on the first day of free agency. And you can see how that went. So they're taking their time. And it makes sense with everything that we've been talking about. Sorry, you probably hear police sirens. There's a helicopter circling outside my place. There's a whole lot going on that's not football related. So I apologize for the background noise. But, you know, this is what happens when you live where you live. So that's what happens. They ain't coming for me, and that's all that matters. So, okay. So anyway, this is basically what we've been talking about since the combine. So, you know, the Saints are focused on bringing in and maintaining the people that they had last year. Unfortunately, they couldn't do it with Mark Ingram. But if you look at the other signings that they've made outside of Latavius Murray, they absolutely have been able to do it so far. Chris Banjo, Craig Robertson, the expected signing of Teddy Bridgewater, all of the exclusive rights free agents that they maintained earlier in the year. So they're doing exactly what they need to do. And then another report came out, also reported by Jane Slater on, let's see, where was she? She was on 105.3 The Fan, where she said that New Orleans still want Dez Bryant back in the city. So look, they're doing what they have to do. He would be able to get him in there, and knowing whether or not he's, you know, healthy and all that with his rehab would be huge for the Saints, because he can play outstanding football from the slot. He would be an incredible slot big or big slot playing there, but that can also swing outside and everything. So look, the Saints are doing what they need to do to be ready for 2019. And so far the moves that they're making are putting them on the trajectory to do exactly that. So coming up next, let's take a look at some of the other big free agency moves that are being made around the league and what they mean to New Orleans. All that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Just want to take a look at some of the big signings from around the league, starting with some players that were originally, well, nobody was ever really connected to the Saints, but I want to start with some players that Saints fans had really hoped that the Saints would target, and we'll talk about where they signed. You got to start with the safeties. The safety market was incredible, or has been. It still is, even with some of the top free agents off of the market. So let's start with Tyrann Mathieu, who, you know, was a very popular suggestion for the Saints. He signs with the Chiefs on a 3-year, $42 million contract. Makes absolute sense why the Saints didn't go after him. He's obviously worth that kind of money and would have never been within the Saints price range, and he was never an option for the Saints. I know that a lot of fans wanted him to come to New Orleans and, you know, come back home and everything. Of course, he went to college in LSU. He's a Louisiana native. All of that makes sense, but just at his talent level, at his price, at the Saints cap situation, and with what the Saints need, there was no reason to pay that kind of money for somebody that comes in and plays 35% of snaps, especially when you just re-signed Chris Banjo, who has played very well on defense, actually, despite his special teams ability being what has mostly brought recognition to his name. He's played great on defense. I think he's got like 3 interceptions with less than 80 snaps on defense or something like that, including 2 that came in garbage time against the Philadelphia Eagles in week 11 last year. So, you know, take that for what you will, but, you know, maybe he gets a crack at that third safety spot, or it's the third safety spot. There's no reason to spend a ton of money on that. You can get somebody late in free agency for cheap to play that position and to help out with that. So let's jump over to the other contract that was given out to one of the top safeties in free agency, and that was the 6-year, $84 million contract that was signed by Landon Collins to join Washington. Holy crap, that's a lot of money. And that's huge for a safety. The biggest safety contract before that, if I remember correctly, was Eric Berry's $78 million contract. That's a huge leap. That's a $6 million difference over a 6-year. That's just, it's a huge contract. The Washington, they love their Alabama players, and Landon Collins is, you know, becomes one of the many that come through there. So just a huge contract for Landon Collins. Kind of ridiculous, honestly. So when you look at that and you look back at the fact that, you know, Saints fans were pointing out, you know, Landon Collins is a potential option for the Saints, get real. 6 years, $84 million. That's an incredible $14 million a year. That's over the tag price for a safety. That's a lot of money. That is a ton of money. And there's no way that the Saints were going to fork that up for a guy that needed to play 35% of snaps on defense. The other huge contract that went out, we've already sort of talked about it, was Nick Foles' 4-year, $88 million contract over with the Jacksonville Jaguars, which effectively might have helped get Teddy Bridgewater to stick around in New Orleans. Although, again, he turned down a bigger offer in his hometown, Miami, to stay in New Orleans. So I doubt that any offer from Jacksonville would have really torn him away at all. But it was great news for the Saints, which gets even better because now Teddy Bridgewater is sticking around. But one of the other notable moves that's going to happen with that Nick Foles signing in Jacksonville is that Blake Bortles is going to be released, and no one is more upset than Jason Mendoza of The Good Place. Ugh, what a tragic tale that is going to be. Can't wait to see how that rolls out. That's just for me. That's not a Saints-related thing. That is for me. I love The Good Place, and I love Jason Mendoza, so I'm curious to see what's going to happen with all of that, if any of you are fans. Anyway, entirely unrelated, excuse my tangent. So, big-time signing for Nick Foles, saw it happening all the way through the combine, makes perfect sense that he ends up in Jacksonville. And finally, to close out the show, nothing more apropos than to go back to Mark Ingram here, who is, a tweet just recently came out, I believe it was from U Stadium, saying that Mark Ingram looks like he is going to be finalizing a contract with the Ravens for $8 million average per year. So look, he got his $7.5 million request and some, at least that was his rumored value. So good for him. Keep an eye out on that. The final news on that should be coming out very, very soon. All right, y'all, that is going to do it for today's episode. What a day. What a couple of days. I feel like I've recorded like four episodes just in 2 days because I re-recorded this one and everything, but so much fun. Having a great time covering all of this. I ask that you all please take a moment to share with your friends and your family and everything, fellow Saints fans. Let everybody know that this podcast is out there and is coming out daily throughout free agency, the offseason, the draft, training camp. I got you covered on all of it. Please feel free to spread the word. It would mean the world to me as I'm working very hard to get all of this content out. But for right now, I just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And please take some time to rate and review as well. It helps out a ton. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints and make sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you all very much for all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, yeah. I'll holla at you.